Sherman as Home Secretary last year after she resigned for breaching the ministerial code by sending a sensitive official document from her personal email account.
Sunak has said he wanted to have a government of integrity, essentially, and it sends the wrong signals in that sense too. We therefore see a government which is drifting and failing to achieve some of its own specific targets, and that's got to be a worry for the Prime Minister and indeed for their election chances.
Speaking of Boris Johnson, he's been named by his supporters as a potential candidate to replace Nadeem Zahawi.
He's seen as a vote magnet, but he's also a trouble magnet. Most recently, we've seen these questions being asked about the chair of the BBC helping him out with a loan. Nothing has been said about law-breaking, but with all of the other problems the Conservatives have, do they really want to risk Boris Johnson in a position where he could bring more intrigue, let's say?
That, in addition to a parliamentary inquiry into whether Boris Johnson misled the House of Commons over Partygate, lockdown rule-breaking drinking sessions during the pandemic, and an investigation into numerous complaints of bullying by Deputy Prime Minister Dominic Raab. Nadeem Zahawi will be remembered as the minister who played fast and loose with the rules and became the first one to be dismissed by the Prime Minister. But no one's sure if he will be the last. Saeed Purizep, London.
Tensions between Muslims and Hindus in Britain have risen following the recent release of a new BBC documentary which explores the rise in Hindu extremist politics in India and concerns that India's Prime Minister may be facilitating the increased violence against India's religious minorities. Over the weekend, British Hindu protesters condemned the BBC with a series of demonstrations outside their UK offices. In one case, a British Muslim of Kashmiri descent confronted a group of Modi supporters in Birmingham.
Modi is a terrorist! Modi, that's it! Keep it moving, guys! I love BJP!
Some clashes turned violent, as was seen in Australia, this time between Modi supporters and local Sikhs. The two-part documentary, India, the Modi Question, has not been broadcast in India by the BBC. Despite this, India's federal government banned the film, citing emergency powers under India's controversial information technology laws. An attempt by Indian students to air the programme on Friday in New Delhi led to scuffles and arrests.
Where is our freedom to express? Here we students are not supposed to watch a documentary. If it is hidden, if it is banned, then sure there might be something important in it.
Here in Britain, local activists have expressed concern over the possible spread of the same Hindu supremacist ideology to UK shores.
It's a double standard. When they cry for help, they're seen as the victim. But when we cry for help, we're seen as the aggressors. And the simple fact of the matter is that the extremist Hindu community here in Birmingham, it has been growing in UK, has been growing for some years.
In 2022, two English Midland cities witnessed street clashes between Hindus and Muslims, with locals complaining that the troubles in India had essentially spread via the Indian diaspora to British shores. This new documentary has clearly opened old wounds, which could be traced back to 2002, during the notorious Gujarat pogroms, which left approximately 1,000 Muslims killed. Robert Carter, London.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Nahwi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of i'tikaf, especially during the months of Rajab, Sha'ban, and the month of Ramadan, in the middle of the months, 13th, 14th, and the 15th. days and nights of these months, the people used to, the Muslims, are, we can say, have a kind of spiritual retreat. They go into the mosque, reside over there, fast for 3 days, and are busy with worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the significance of these days in the Islamic calendar and the Islamic lifestyle, Sheikh Rouhani?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, theologically, we Muslims believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful and kind.
Yes.
Because of his kindness and mercy towards people, towards the servants, he actually provided us with a special kind of programs to help us to improve ourselves, to perfect ourselves. So the way to perfect ourselves is this, that to practice whatever is ordered and commanded by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Imam of Ahlul Bayt.
Yes.
But sometimes some people might think that, okay, it is really difficult to live like role models, like Imam alayhi wasallam in this world, like the pious people in this world. Particularly for the youth, it sometimes might become a bit questionable that, okay, it's really impossible nowadays to live that way.
Yes.
One of the very nice and very interesting practical kind of instrument or mean by which we can actually practically experience this kind of spiritual sort of environment in nowadays life is this, to attend this i'tikaf.
Yes.
Because a mu'takif, the person who is performing i'tikaf, he actually practices and performs practically whatever is ordered by mm-hmm. Islam in a very spiritual kind of environment.
Yes.
And actually he practically feels that he is under the monitoring of presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything is observed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Imam, 12th Imam, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif.
Yes.
So that's why I think it is due to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that sometimes provided us with these kind of instructions, particularly in the month of Ramadan, that you have to practice at least 3 days in a year.
Yes.
Practically try to be a good, pious Muslim, mm-hmm. a real faithful believer and mu'min.
Yes.
Then, because this would be a kind of step towards perfection that you put.
Yes, very good.
That's why I think this i'tikaf in the holy month of Rajab is really significant, is really important, particularly for the youth.
For the youth, that's right.
They have to attend.
I will get back to you for the benefits of i'tikaf and what are the benefits of i'tikaf, how to keep, we can say, the spirit of i'tikaf after we leave.
Exactly.
For example, the mosque or the residing place. We know that these days are called the white days because they say that in the 13th, 14th, and the 15th days and the nights of the lunar calendar, the moon is its most complete form and shining as possible. That's what is called the days which nights are brighter than the other nights. And a person becomes mu'takif, we can say, a resident of a holy place like a mosque or a holy places. Sayyid Mohsen, how do you find, we can say, this period of time for a Muslim and a Muslim's life? Is it done by all the Muslims around the world or no? And they are specific to the Shias and the Shia world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first of all, I want to mention that since Islam is a perfect set of life,
yes,
and Allah has provided all the means that are necessary for the mankind to reach the perfection,
yes.
Therefore, he put some workshops in the Islamic rituals.
Okay, good.
For example, you know, we fast for specific days other than the month of Ramadan. So
yes.
The first workshop is the month of Ramadan. You fast for the whole month.
Okay.
It is to train yourself, you know, because the training or workshops are where you train yourself, you practice something, and you get some skills.
Yes.
So in the month of Ramadan, you get the skills of how to, you know, give away your food to others, how to bear the hunger,
yes.
and how to be patient in different places. On the other hand, we have, for example, especially in the Shia school of thought, we have the month of mourning, the month of Muharram,
yes.
where we learn how the hardships were beared by the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam,
right.
especially Imam Hussein, alayhi salatu wasalam.
Yes.
Another workshop, the greater workshop, is the Hajj.
Yes.
Where when people go, they are forbidden from the things which were halal, for example, for them. That's why ihram is like when you put these clothes, something becomes haram on you.
Yeah, you're banned.
You're banned, which were allowed.
Yes.
For example, you don't comb your hairs. You don't, You know, the
husband
and wife cannot
beautify yourself.
Yes, you don't beautify
you
yourself.
Don't have
there are many things.
Radical,
you cannot,
okay.
you cannot
yes.
hunt anything,
yes, yes,
even
yes,
a fly or
yes,
the
yes,
mosquito. You can
oh.
you cannot kill.
Okay.
The shorter form of Hajj, we can say, is the i'tikaf,
oh.
which is at least for 3 days.
Yes.
And maximum for 10 days.
For 10 days.
Or
right.
it can go more than that. It
okay.
depends on the person's,
yes.
like, you know, capacity, how it wants.
Okay.
In the Sunni school of thought, they have 10 days i'tikaf.
Yes.
And no less than that.
Okay.
It's the last 10 days of the, you know, month of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
Or the last 10 days of Rajab, we can say.
Yes.
But in the Shia school of thought, according to the narrations that we have from Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam, it starts, minimum is 3 days. And then you can add on 3 more days, like.
Yes.
This way you can have 10 days or 9 days maximum, you can
okay.
say, like 3 days, 3 days, and 3 days for the last 10 days of
yes.
the month of Ramadan and the
Rajab
as well.
Yes.
So basically this was the background. So
yes.
the i'tikaf is one of the workshops, which is to train you, which is to purify you, which is to take you away from the, you know, the busy life of the world.
Yes.
Because, you know, in the i'tikaf, we leave our mobile phones.
Mm-hmm.
We stay in an environment.
Is it a ruling?
Yeah, it is. It is from the... No, it's leaving the mobile.
Yes.
It is said, like, do not get involved into the worldly things.
Worldly things, that's
For
right.
example, you should not go out to buy the things and all those,
oh.
except it is if it is necessary that
yes.
you want to do iftar. Because
okay, okay, okay.
the very first thing is
yes.
you need to fast in
yes.
these 3 days.
Oh.
You fast in these 3 days, and the major point is not to live in the mosque. That is not the main thing
mm-hmm.
about this. You
yes.
know, the philosophy behind it.
Yes, yes, yes.
It is not to bear fasting for 3 days, living in a closed environment. This is not the this
okay.
is not the goal and aim.
Yes.
The goal and aim is to ponder, to think about yourself.
Very good. Tafakkur.
You know, tafakkur.
Yes.
For these 3 days, at least 3 days, you're away from the world. You
mm-hmm.
don't take your mobile phone with you. You do not, you know.
You're not connected
you
to the physical.
You adore yourself.
Yes, yes.
You don't beautify yourself.
Yes, yes.
You take care of halal and haram, everything.
Uh-huh.
You speak nicely to people. You worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then that is the time to think about yourself, that why I was here.
Mm-hmm.
How can I get to the perfection?
Very
you know,
good.
When I go back for these 3 days, for example, if I'm not using my WhatsApp or Instagram.
Yes, yes.
If I can bear this, yes, for my rest of life, I can control my timings
mm-hmm.
of using such things.
That's right.
There are many other things, you know, Facebook, YouTube, other
yes,
things
yes, yes.
that I was spending my life,
yeah.
I was wasting my time.
The today's generation, especially
yes.
the youth, are busy with these things, the
they
social
should, they should go
networks.
There.
That's
so
right.
it
okay.
is the time to ponder about ourselves. Even the same thing is in Hajj. You know, in Hajj, you have nothing to do. You know, for example,
mm-hmm.
when you go to Arafat, you have to spend a night.
Yeah.
And you're doing nothing. You're just sitting
in a bare desert. You have to sit down.
People, if they know
yes.
the goal of the Arafat,
mm-hmm.
when you go there, is to sit there and ponder,
yes.
to think. You know, on the Hajj, why I'm stoning 3 shaitan, for example.
Okay.
What is the purpose?
What is the philosophy? That's right.
We need to go back to the philosophy.
Okay.
So even in the Quran, in chapter Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specifically ordered Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
He said to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَّا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ أَنْ طَحِّرَ بَيْتِ we made the covenant
yes.
for Ibrahim and Ismail, أَنْ طَحِّرَ بَيْتِ they both need to purify this house.
Yes.
For whom? لِلطَّائِفِينَ those who come to the Hajj, they do tawaf.
That's right.
وَالْعَاكِفِينَ this is the one who does i'tikaf.
Itikafin, that's right.
So the Prophet Ibrahim, we need
yes.
to, you know, once if we sit and think that this i'tikaf, which I'm doing in the mosque, Allah ordered Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail to clean this house.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the Akifin are coming.
The people, the residents of...
The residents.
Warukka
is sujood, and those who bow down
yes,
to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
So this was ordered, directly ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the prophets. And we have many verses in the Quran.
That's right.
Which is about the Akifin or Akif.
Yes.
You can find out this phrase or this
yes,
word
yes.
in the Quran.
Mu'takif, Akif, you know all
yes.
them. They are the derivatives, we can say, as you said, Akafa, as you said, that's right.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ
الله 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 لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Sheikh Rouhani, especially in today's world, you know, the people are busy with the materialistic life more than before. You know, you just sit down in your car, drive to the mosque, you are connected with your social on the social network with so many people all across the world. So you need a kind of seclusion, as I said, a solitary life in order to go somewhere, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be disconnected from all the things that deviate you from the right path, the distractors. What about the benefits of i'tikaf? What are they? Are they only useful for the youth, or no, all the people from different generations can take part in that? And what are the benefits for that?
Yes, first of all, let me mention one of the practical solutions. How can we attend to the i'tikaf while we are so much busy working all days? Some of our friends in European countries, they have this nice kind of program for their, let's say, for each year. For example, they have some days off during the whole year.
Okay.
And they put those days which are off, they work in those days,
yes.
And they say, for example, in the month of Muharram, for 10 days, I want to take off.
Uh-huh.
Or, for example, some of them say that in the time of i'tikaf, I want to be off.
So they select their leaving for that day. They change
it. Exactly.
Okay, that's right.
They work instead of these days and the other days.
They change the calendar because the working calendar. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is one of the very good solutions for i'tikaf. It's only for 3 days.
Yes.
You have some days off in every month, for example. So you can change those time and work on those days. And instead of that, go
for example, the weekend you work. And instead of that, you take leave. During, for example, i'tikaf time.
Very good.
Very nice.
So this is a very practical solution that you can make use of it for attending i'tikaf at least once in your life.
Yes.
Because it will have lots of benefits. You know, let me just briefly mention this nice story of Sheikh Shahabuddin Sohrawardi, one of the great scholars of Islam.
Yes.
When someone asked him that, okay, how can we trust you scholars that, for example, if we practice such and such a thing, we will gain something, we will achieve something.
Uh-huh.
You just promise us something, but we are not sure how to get that. How can you make us sure and certain that we will achieve something?
Yes.
Sheikh Shahabuddin Sohrawardi gave this example of the astronomer. Said when an astronomer tells you that, for example, the lunar eclipse, or what is that? The
Khusuf and Kusuf.
Khusuf and Kusuf,
Solar eclipse.
Is going to happen in a certain day.
Yes.
How can you trust him?
Yes.
You know, it's only a promise.
Yes.
He says, he just tell you something will happen. Then Sheikh Shahabuddin explained that, okay, because you know that this astronomer gained or achieved certain knowledge, he studied, he had some instruments and, let's say, tools, and then he know how to use them.
Yes.
How to make use of them, magnifiers or those kind of telescopes, things like that. And then finally, he predicted that, for example, something will happen.
Very good.
So if you people want to achieve, want to understand that how that eclipse would happen, will happen, you have to first achieve the knowledge.
Yes.
And then know the instruments.
The utilities, that's right.
And then you have to know how to use them.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, you would be able to see the lunar eclipse before it happens. So that's why it's not a promise only. The astronomer sees what is going to happen.
Okay.
That's why he says that you Muslims, you youth, at least trust the scholars, trust the trainers, and practice. Once you practice, you will see what will happen to you.
Very good. Very.
And that is why...
Taste.
You taste, exactly.
Yes, very good.
For example, he said that, okay, you are in search of finding, for example, pleasure, let's say calmness, or what we can say, happiness, tranquility.
Peace of mind, peace of
prosperity,
soul.
Prosperity,
okay.
We're always looking for prosperity, for a prosperous life, happy life, to enjoy everything, to have enjoyable life. As he says that, okay, let's practice at least.
Yes.
Practiced what the Holy Prophet said, what the Imam said, for example. If you once you practice, you feel this joy or this kind of pleasure.
We know that nowadays the people take refuge into the pills, order to find calmness. And this is really dangerous,
Of course.
And that's why, for example, so many of the Islamic rulings, Islamic teachings, like the period of i'tikaf during the months of Rajab, Shaban, and the other intervals of the year, are the prescriptions for some of the people who are tired of this worldly life,
Exactly.
At least go and taste once. How is it?
Yeah.
The Arba'in procession, go and taste it.
Yeah.
The pilgrimage, the Salat, go and taste it. Fasting, go and taste it. And then you can find the sweetness, as you said. That's right. Okay, very nice. Okay, Sayyid Mohsen, what about the other benefits? And how to keep the spirit of i'tikaf alive in ourselves after these 3 days are done or 10 days are done?
Well, obviously, it's a sequence because you can see that, you know, the Islamic months that they come. Rajab is the amongst the first spiritual, yes, yes, you can say, month, which is, yes, for the preparation of Sha'ban.
Yes.
And after that, Sha'ban is the preparation for Ramadan.
The three loved months by Prophet, yes, Muhammad. That's right.
So basically, okay, these are designed in a way by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person who does i'tikaf for 3 days in Rajab, mm-hmm, he gets prepared for Sha'ban.
Okay.
And in Sha'ban, we have many more things,
yes,
many more workshops, yes, you know, celebrations as well in the month of Sha'ban. And, you know, Ramadan, you know, let me put it into the material way,
okay,
that in Ramadan, people think like, you know, I'm fasting, so it's kind of, you know, something that is taken away from me. People might have some sadness.
Yes.
So Allah has put Sha'ban a month of celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no, you know, mourning in it because, yes, in the month of Sha'ban we have all the viladats,
yes,
the,
yes,
the birth, yes, anniversaries of Aim Ahl Bayt,
okay,
that people celebrate so much, mm-hmm, and then they get ready. They have spiritually because, you know, when, yes, you celebrate these, there's a spirituality as well for
there
you.
There is a boost up.
There's a boost up.
Yes, yes, that's
so
right.
So basically, okay, you prepare yourself in the month of Rajab, right, for 3 days. You fast for those 3 days. You go to the mosque.
Yes.
In the month of Sha'ban, you have all the celebrations. Mm-hmm. You have other, you know, the prayers and all those that you perform.
That's right.
And fasting as well is recommended in the month of Sha'ban. And then you get ready for the month of Ramadan.
That's right.
So basically, rather than saying like how we can keep that, we should see in this way that Allah has put some days in each month,
mm-hmm,
which are highly recommended, for example, for fasting, for,
that's
giving,
right,
charity,
yes,
and all those things. So this will help gradually. And therefore, obviously, when we perform, when we give importance to the i'tikaf for the month of Rajab,
yes,
we definitely give importance to the other things in,
that's
the other,
right,
months as well. Because it shows that the one who has devoted, because, you know, i'tikaf itself, akif, akafa,
yes, yes,
it means devotion.
Devotion, yes.
Because
one of the meaning is devotion. Yes,
yes, because,
yes,
this word has been used for, you know, the Prophet Ibrahim has said to Adar, like,
yes,
his,
yes,
uncle,
yes,
that why you have devoted yourself to worshipping these idols.
Yes.
So there the word akif is also used.
Yes,
so,
yes,
if someone search in the Quran, don't say like akif is, you know, it's been used for that. A word can have many meanings.
Yes.
But the real meaning, yes, is devotion. So here when we say i'tikaf is the pure devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right. Okay. Hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us and all the Muslims the chance of attending the 3 days of i'tikaf in the month of Rajab, 13th, 14th, and 15th days and nights of the month of Rajab, fasting over there, attending. And, you know, some countries like Islamic Republic of Iran hold organized sessions and gatherings in the mosques and in neighborhoods, you know, are dedicated to these ceremony and rituals over there. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of i'tikaf. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me. And I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, ways of self-building. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the ways and the paths of self-building in the Islamic lifestyle. Well, when we talk about the self-building, the very first thing that we need to bear in our minds is to ponder where we are, to analyze ourselves in order to perform the self-building. The second thing is to have the firm determination of following the teachings of Islam, the determination of following the teachings of Ahlul Bayt and Quran, inshallah. The third thing that we need to have is to condition with ourselves. The condition is that I condition myself to not to perform any kind of evil or sin during the day. I promise myself to not to follow the path of evil. And this promise that I'm making to myself on the daily basis is taking me towards the perfection, is taking me towards the pure Islamic lifestyle. And therefore, it is necessary sometimes, you know, when we promise ourselves, for example, we have seen some people who are on diet, they promise themselves that I will avoid, for example, the cola, I will avoid the soda, I will not take this, I will avoid the, for example, mayonnaise or ketchup or the things that have more fats in them. So they promise themselves and they try to live their life according to that. And if you offer them something like that, they say, I have promised myself because I want to lose some weight. Therefore, it is necessary in the Islamic lifestyle as well to promise ourselves on the daily basis, to remind ourselves on the daily basis that we will not follow the path of evil. We will not follow the path of shaitan. We will not perform any kind of sins during the day, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z. We were talking about the topic of ways of self-building in the Islamic lifestyle. We said that there are different ways that we can have the self-building, and one of them was conditioning ourselves. That was the third way. The fourth way of self-building is muraqibah. Muraqibah means to take care of ourselves, to take care of the deeds, the actions that we perform. You know, sometimes we perform the things and after that we forget about that. The meditation can help us, this muraqibah or meditation can help us keep ourselves on the level in which we are. We need to take care of ourselves. Obviously, when I'm doing something, when I'm performing good deeds, shaitan is after me. Evil is there. My nafs-e ammara, the nafs which orders to perform the evil, it is there. So the outside enemies are there. The external enemies are there. My friends maybe, or the media, or the environment in which I'm living, especially people living in the West. So you can see everywhere there are many different means which takes us towards the evil. So therefore, I need to have this meditation. I need to be careful that once I have promised myself not to perform any evil, then I'm taking care of myself. I am guarding myself. I become the guard and the protector of myself, my soul, and I do not let my soul or thoughts to be hijacked by anyone. So this is the other way. And the last way of having the self-building is known as muhasibah. And the muhasibah is self-calculation. We need to compute ourselves. We need to calculate or compute or perform some computation over our actions that we do during the day. At the night before sleeping, just think what I have done during the day. If it was in accordance to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then say thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it wasn't, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the help so that He helps us that tomorrow we do not repeat the same mistakes that we did today, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
In recent years, gun violence in America has been one of the most critical challenges facing society. According to a recent analysis, gun-related deaths are the leading cause of death for American children and adolescents. We take a look at some of the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Website of AlertNet writes, the number of children shot and killed in the United States in 2022 exceeded 6,000. The Gun Violence Archive found that at least 6,032 children 17 years of age or younger had been the victims of America's deadly gun epidemic. That was the highest fatality rate since the Gun Violence Archive started keeping a record of gun violence casualties in 2014. The figure reflected a notable increase since last year, when arbitrary deployment of firearms by civilians was found to be responsible for around 5,700 casualties across the country. At least 306 children, 11 years old or younger, have been killed by gunfire, with 668 being injured. Additionally, 1,325 teenagers aged between 12 and 17 died by gunfire, with 3,732 being injured. Recently, the Gun Violence Archive said there had been a total of 609 mass shootings in 2022 in the United States. It is projected to reach around 675 by the end of this year. The grim statistics come after a 3-year-old girl in Kansas City, Missouri, was killed on Christmas Eve in what police suspect was an accidental shooting. The child shooting deaths in 2022 also include 19 students, all 11 years old or younger, killed in a mass shooting on 24th of May at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. One of the youngest victims killed by gunfire this year was a 5-month-old baby who was shot in the head while sitting in a car in Chicago, Illinois, during a 24th of June drive-by shooting incident. The United States has been suffering from an expanding trend of gun violence and episodes of mass shootings. In July, President Joe Biden admitted that a flood of guns was turning American communities into killing fields. In October, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, released data on U.S. firearm deaths last year, counting over 47,000, which is the most in at least 40 years. The U.S. population is growing, but researchers say the rate of gun deaths has been getting worse. America's gun-related homicide and suicide rates both rose 8% last year, hitting unprecedented levels since the early 1990s. The New York Times has also covered the story. The gun death rate for children is nearly 5 in every 100,000. It was flat for more than a decade starting in 2000, and most years fewer than 3 in every 100,000 children were killed by guns. In 2014, the rate began to creep up, and by 2020, guns became the leading killer of American children. According to provisional statistics from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, last year was a particularly violent year. 3,597 children died by gunfire. The death rate from guns was the highest it has been in more than 20 years. While the statistics for this year are incomplete, it is clear that the carnage has not receded. In May of this year, the nation watched as horror unfolded in Uvalde, Texas, yet another school ripped apart by bullets, yet another group of children to mourn. Yet another shooting in a long line of school shootings, and though the number of school shootings has recently risen to the highest level on record, the overall picture is so much worse. These shootings account for less than 1% of the total gun deaths suffered by American children. No group of American children has been spared, but some have fared worse than others. Last year, nearly two-thirds of gun deaths involved children, 2,279, were homicides. Since 2018, they have increased by more than 73%. Most homicides involve black children, who make up a small share of all children, but shoulder the burden of gun violence more than any others, a disparity that is growing sharply. The number of children who die by suicide with a gun has also risen to a historical high over the last decade. Last year, suicides made up nearly 30% of child gun deaths, 1,078. Unlike homicides, suicides disproportionately involve white children, mostly teenage boys. A decade ago, the number of white children who killed themselves with a gun totaled around 500 annually. In 3 of the last 5 years, the figure has surpassed 700. The share of gun suicides for black and Hispanic children has been growing as well. Still, in America, among children who die by gunfire, black and Hispanic children are more likely to be killed by others, and white children are more likely to kill themselves. Gun accidents that kill children have also ticked up in the last decade, though they are relatively uncommon, totaling fewer than 150 in most years. Researchers who study gun violence say that is difficult to explain exactly why gun deaths among children have risen so quickly, but most emphasize that the increased availability of guns, especially handguns, which tend to be used in homicides and suicides, and also tend to be stored less safely than some other types of guns, has most likely played a role. The website of Kaiser Family Foundation has also covered the same story. Firearm injuries and deaths in the United States have increased in recent years and adversely affect many children and adolescents. In 2020, firearms became the leading cause of death among children aged 19 and below, and in the first 6 months of 2022, there were over 300 mass shootings across the United States, including the shooting at the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. In addition to physical harm, direct and indirect exposure to gun violence can never negatively affect the mental health and well-being of young people. During the pandemic, firearm-related deaths increased among children, with 7 children per day dying of firearms in 2021. From 2011 to 2021, nearly 18,500 children aged 17 and younger died by firearm. During this period, firearm death rates gradually rose until 2017, then slowed through 2019 before sharply rising in the first 2 years of the pandemic. From 2019 to 2021, the firearm death rate among children increased by 50%. This translates to 7 children per day dying by firearm in 2021. Throughout the past decade, assaults have accounted for at least half of all youth firearm deaths, while suicides by firearm have accounted for at least 3 in 10 of these deaths. The spike in youth firearm deaths during the pandemic have primarily been driven by gun assaults. Firearm-related injuries among children have also increased in recent years from 9.9 per 100,000 population in 2010 to 15.5 per 100,000 population in 2020.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد محمد وآله.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Here again we are with some of the students of Xavier International School, Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Brother Ali Nasir, and Fawad Haider, and also Hassan Nasrullah.
وبغار حراء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So today inshallah we will be working on ayah 267 of Surah Al-Baqarah on page 45. On page 45. So let's everyone listen to the recitation once.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا من طيبات ما كسبتم ومما أخرجنا لكم من الأرض ولا تيمموا الخبيث منه تنفقون ولستم بآخذيه إلا أن تغمضوا فيه واعلموا أن الله غني حميد.
ما شاء الله, nice recitation. I will be inshallah reciting this ayah once. Make sure you listen carefully and repeat, okay? Brothers and sisters, turn to page 45, ayah 267 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Let's go.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا من طيبات ما كسبتم ومما أخرجنا لكم من الأرض
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا من طيبات ما كسبتم ومما أخرجنا لكم من الأرض
ولا تيمموا الخبيث منه تنفقون ولستم بآخذيه إلا أن تغمضوا فيه
ولا تيمموا الخبيث منه تنفقون ولستم بآخذيه إلا أن تغمضوا فيه
واعلموا أن الله غني حميد
واعلموا أن الله غني حميد.
أحسنتم, mashallah. Thank you so much. Allah Almighty says that all people who believe, أنفقوا من طيبات ما كسبتم, spend or donate of the good things you have earned, of the pure things, طيبات. Okay, I'll explain. وَمِمَّا أَخْرَجْنَا لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, and donate of what we bring forth for you from the earth. وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ. Okay, and do not be of the mind to give the bad part of what we have given you or what you have earned. وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِيهِ, for because you yourself would not take it, the bad part. إِلَّا أَن تُغْمِضُوا فِيهِ, unless you overlook it, unless you become really in a bad situation, unless you're forced to. وَاعْلَمُوا, and know that Allah is غَنِيٌّ, all-sufficient and all-laudable. So, guys, one important message I want to tell you, then inshallah we'll move on to the tajweed rules. Sometimes we have a lot of things, okay? We have a lot of things. So we can be like those people who donate. From what they have, they donate, okay? But sometimes there are some types of people, okay, who donate, but what do they donate? They donate the worst thing they have. Yes, they donate the worst things they have. For example, God forbid such a person, I buy 1 kilo of apple. Okay, 1 kilo of apple. So I got good apples. I got like root and apple as well. So I walk on the street. I'm walking on the street. Someone comes to me and he says, he's begging, please, can you help me? So I search in the plastic. So two cases, I can be two types of person. One, I can give the better ones to that person. Second, I can give the worst ones, the ripped ones, the rotten ones, okay? The rotten ones, I can give him. So which one is better?
The fresh ones.
The fresh ones, but not the?
Rotten ones.
Rotten ones, yes? The fresh ones are better. So Allah Almighty says, donate from those who are pure, who are tahir, who are tayyib, and which are good, the good ones, not the bad ones. It doesn't mean that you have to. Look, it doesn't mean that you have to donate. No. Allah Almighty says, if you donate, donate from the good ones, not from the bad ones. Lady Zahra, salamullah alayha, donated what?
Her
dress.
Yeah.
Her wedding dress, which was the best, which is the best thing for a bride, yes?
Yeah.
For a lady when on her wedding. So, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. She donated from what she loved that night, but she donated it. She could donate an old dress to that poor lady, but she did. She gave the best one in order to fight the stinginess. Yes? In order to fight. These ladies are right, someone special. We have to learn lessons from her. All right? So guys, that's all. We should remember that Allah Almighty knows. He is all sufficient. Even if you give the old apples, not the fresh ones, Allah knows. Allah will compensate him with something better, okay? But you will be judged in the day of judgment. So guys, that's all. Remember, okay? Inshallah, whenever you want to donate, try to donate the best things that you have, or the good things at least, okay? At least the good things. Do not donate the bad things that they do not like, or you even do not like it. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah, for more information. Let's go to the Tajweed rules now. We have less time, some minutes left. Inshallah, we'll do the Tajweed rules. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. We have worked on these words a lot, okay? The Tajweed rules. You know, we will not repeat them. Anfiqu. Nun sakin plus fa. We have done this a lot. Ikhfa. Min tayyibati. Again, ikhfa. Nun sakin plus ta. Min tayyibati. Those who are familiar with Tajweed rules, they know what ikhfa means. ما كسبتم با ساكين قلقلة. Bounce the sound. ما كسبتم. Bouncing sound, yes?
Yes.
ومما, إدغام is done here, applied here. مما, with. Is it with nasal sound or without?
With nasal sound.
مِمَّا أَخْرَجْنَا قَلْقَلَ أَخْرَجْنَا لَكُمْ ميم plus ميم ميم ساكن plus ميم
إدغام مثلين
yes إدغام مثلين لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ صِلَة tells you
continuing is better than
stopping. If you continue, it's better than stopping here. وَلَا تَيَمَّمُوا الْخَبِيثَ تَيَمَّمُوا الْخَبِيثَ. Skip the wow mat as well. تَيَمَّمُوا الْ. Quickly join it. تَيَمَّمُوا الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ. We mentioned the rules, إخفاء and إظهار. وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِي. لَسْتُمْ مِمْ سَاكِنْ plus ba.
إِقْلَق.
No, that's نون ساكن plus ba.
إخفاء.
إخفاء. وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِيهِ. Right? بِآخِذِيهِ.
Yes.
إِلَّا أَن تُغْمِضُوا. إخفاء. تُغْمِضُوا فِيهِ. جيم. Aha. Ali Nasir, what does that jim say? What does it indicate?
You can stop.
You can stop. It's jais. Yeah. You're allowed to stop. You got two options. Stop or continue.
No better one. Both are equal.
Yeah, yeah. Both are equal. Well, wa'alamu. Is the mad wajib?
No.
No, the mad is not wajib. Yes. Wa'alamu anna allaha ghaniyun hamid. Anna allaha. An nasal sound. Allah, lam is pronounced with a heavy sound. Ghaniyun hamid. Tanween plus ha, idhar. That's all from this ayah. The tajweed rules, the important ones. Alhamdulillah, we mentioned, we explained it a bit about the tafsir. Make sure you refer to the tafsir book, inshallah, for more explanations. And also practice the tajweed rules. That's all from us, brothers and sisters. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to listening to IRIB English Radio. We really recommend you stay with us, inshallah. We are here with you every day with one of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. And we'll continue with the rest of the surahs. Inshallah, we'll work the tajweed rules with you. Please stay with us. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International Schools as well for cooperation. Thanks to Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Fawad Haider for being with us in this session. Thank you so much. We'll see you next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.